Welcome to Breakfast on 91.3 FM, your voice in the morning. And of course, in the special edition of the Labour Lowdown, you know we usually do this for a solid 20 minutes. But this time round, you know it's on lockdown mode. And that's exactly where we're going to keep the focus for the next couple of minutes, inshallah. And who best to get? He's none other than Shahid Abada, who usually does our Labour Lowdown show. He has a Master's of Law, of course, specialising in labour law. And then he's also completing his PhD in employee relations, and is also a registered commissioner at the CCMA. Shahid, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for joining us on Breakfast 91.3 FM.
Assalamu alaikum, Ghulam, and shukran for having me once again during these difficult times and just before the lockdown. And I know we have a lot to speak about this morning.
Oh, no, absolutely. Shahid, what does this mean for the economy in terms of from an employer-employee perspective? What does that mean?
Well, Ghulam, you know, the predictions are that, obviously, you know, long after the dust has settled on the virus itself, there's going to be an economic issue that we're going to face, which is going to last for much longer. Already, there's a downturn in economy globally. You know, I think if I speak from the automotive sector, people are not going to be able to buy luxury items again after, you know, we've basically contained this virus. People are going to focus on getting their lives back together. We're going to have a lot of people in debt because now the lockdown, you know, in terms of employer-employee relations and regarding payments and things like that wasn't really clarified by the president. But I think as we go along, we're going to find out a little bit more. Mm. But as it stands, I think the economy is going to suffer in a big way. We already see the banks, obviously, you know, giving payment holidays on certain loans and so on. Yeah. There's still some clarity with regards to that as far as bonds are concerned. But, you know, when all this is over, people have to catch up with those payments, so they're going to have no money for anything else. Mm. So I can, you know, I can probably not safely say, I think with confidence say, that there's going to be, the rest of this year, 2020, is going to be a very difficult year for the economy for South Africa and globally.
Okay. Shahid, let's look at how this affects the workers. People are going on lockdown mode from the 26th. They are in panic mode as it stands. And, you know, people wants to know who pays the salaries during the lockdown.
So the president, this is one issue that the president hasn't really completely clarified. He touched on it. My understanding now, Ghulam, is that the nation, and I'm talking more employees, you know, seem to have heard that or understand that the employer has to pay the salaries of all the employees. This is not the case. This was not, the president didn't say that, right? Mm-hmm. One has to look at agreements that you have with employees. You know, you have a contractual obligation to provide work, but now the president has called a lockdown of the country. So this is a force majeure, what they call a force majeure in legal terms. It is no fault of the employer and neither is the fault of the employee. So in that case, you know, certain agreements will kick in. One will have to go back to the employment contract and look at, you know, what can be used to obviously, you know, sort of soften the blow for employees when it comes to their salaries. So a lot of employers currently are placing people on leave. If you look at the lockdown period, it's 21 days, but there's actually essentially 13 working days.
Right.
Okay. So a lot of people are being placed on leave. Now, the problem is in South Africa, we have our shutdowns and our leave is in December. We like the holidays in December.
Mm.
So, you know, it's people will have to understand that they're going to have to now benefit and maybe take some pain in December, or they're going to have to go into negative leave. So that's the situation currently and how it's being treated by the employers. Some employers have even come up and said, well, you know, it is related to a virus. Maybe we can give employees some of their sick leave, especially those employees who haven't abused their sick leave. But I think that is something that is a next step.
Yeah.
What the president did say is that the Department of Labor is putting together a package, you know, a stimulus package for employees. So there is currently legislation, so if employees have reduced working hours, the UIF Act can actually step in. You make that application directly with the Unemployment Insurance Fund and with the Department of Labor. Obviously, your employer needs to complete certain documents. In a lockdown, that's going to be very difficult. So my advice to employees and employers is that they get those documents done before Thursday.
Mm.
If they can virtually do their documents, you know, where and set up a central office where employees can actually get that done, then they have to do that. So what is that package that is being offered? Employees are basically, you know, if they have been contributing to the UIF, it's basically, I think it's around 18,000 rand is the cap on it. So people can make use of that fund in terms of reduced working hours. It's not, remember the UIF was solely in the past for employees who were terminated and obviously was unemployed, but the UIF Act has been amended to deal with reduced working hours. And in this particular case, one can regard it as a reduced working hours. So that would be almost the first port of call.
Right.
If people don't want to use their leave, they will have to use that avenue. But I think one mustn't also, you know, be very optimistic because you know how long things can take
exactly.
with regard to the Department of Labor. People might have their debt and only get those payments long after the lockdown.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to make people too optimistic about specific avenue.
No, that's absolutely fine. Shahid, just hold that thought. I want to go for the break quickly. When we come back after the break, you know, we want to know in terms of some of the questions that came into play, because a lot of people are asking, you know, social distancing. You know, we can go to work, but the social distance aspect of it, you know, can your boss force you to go and for you to go and work? Let's go and pay the bills. On the other side, inshallah, we continue with Shahid Abale right here on Breakfast 91.3 FM. Welcome back to Breakfast on 91.3 FM. Shahid Abada, of course, holds a Master's in Labour Law, and then also he's the Registered Commissioner at the CCMA and also completing his PhD in Employee Relations. He joins us online to talk about the lockdown and how it affects both the employer and the employee. Shahid, so let's look at the lockdown. Can your boss force you to come and work?
Okay, so there the President, Ghulam, was very specific. He was very clear, and I think these documents are available, in terms of what type of businesses can continue to work, all right? And, you know, the supermarkets, restaurants are going to be closed. People in the police force, in the army, essential services like the medical field, those employees are allowed to continue to work. Everybody else needs to shut down. If it's manufacturing operations, needs to shut down. You know, so one has to look at the speech of the president and check whether you fall into that category. If you don't fall into the category of essential services and what the president has laid out there, your business should actually close.
Mm. But if you look at companies, and you and I have been chatting, you know, all day along the lines of a company that is calling themselves essential services, perhaps they are, I'm not too sure about it. I forwarded all the information to you to have a look at it.
Yeah.
This is a company that is server-based. They can do their work from home, provided the company give them the resources and they can do that. But now the company is insisting that they do come to work. The problem is that even if they do come to work, they're going to be mixing basically with, you know, people in the taxi on their way to work, people at work. So the coronavirus in their environment is not going to be very under control, if you think about it in that way. What would happen in a case like that?
Absolutely. So, Ghulam, we've had a lot of lessons. We've been watching Europe. We've been watching China. We've been watching the UK and the US long before this virus became a big problem in South Africa. So we have lessons learned. We have precedent for how these things are done. So the first step that employers need to take is to check whether employees can actually work from home. If they can work from home, if their job is of such a nature that they can actually operate remotely, then the employer must take reasonable steps to actually make that possible. Okay? Mm-hmm. If an employee feels that he or she is, you know, their lives are in danger or their health is in danger, the Health and Safety Act in our country makes it very, very clear.
Yes.
It puts the obligation on the employer to make sure that he provides a safe working environment for any employee. Now we know social distancing has specific requirements. And again, you know, we are all learning as we go along because it's something new to us. I mean, this is going to be new to attorneys, it's going to be new to employers, it's going to be new to the man on the street. Social distancing, from my perspective, I understand that you need to be about 1.5 meters away from another person.
Mm.
But if you're in an enclosed environment, obviously you can't guarantee that even the 1.5 meters is going to be is going to be assisting you. So the law is written in such a way that you can, and I know sometimes we talk about refusing reasonable instructions and being insubordinate. However, the law also looks at a specific case where an employee refuses to work because he or she feels that his life or his health is in danger in terms of the Health and Safety Act.
Mm.
So in that particular case, I think that the employees can actually refuse to go to work until the employer makes it possible for them to actually work. This is not a blanket statement I'm making. I'm just saying that if the employee feels that, you know, his health is in danger, he can actually refuse to work.
There was another message that came through. It says, my husband is a sales rep for a very big security company, and they were told the lockdown does not apply to them. Doesn't this then defeat the purpose?
Gulam, the provision of security services is not defined by the president. It's not in his speech. When he talks about essential services, he's talking about the police, he's talking about the armed forces and so on. He has not mentioned the issue related to security companies and so on. As far as he's concerned, that is not an essential service in terms of the law. So there again, you know, we are learning as we go along. A lot of businesses are going to be closed. Security guards are going to be posted to protect the assets and so on. And here there's no clarity in terms of what the status of security guards. I think, you know, again there, those security companies had to shut down for the period of the 21 days.
Shaib, I wanted to spend just about a minute or so just very quickly as to when we can, you know, act on that section or basically implement or work around that particular act. Just give me a minute of that.
Well, you know, the Communicable Diseases Act obviously falls under the realms of a different, you know, it doesn't fall under labor law and so on. But I think, you know, it is very clear that, you know, when the health and safety of the public and the nation is in danger, you know, the president has the right, obviously, to take certain steps and to enforce that on the nation, even if it sounds like it's in a draconian manner, right? I think, you know, when these kind of steps are taken in terms of that act, then employers have to act. They have to, you know, comply with the law. And there's very strict rules. In fact, that has been issued already by the president in terms of, you know, how the armed forces and as well as the police can act, you know, in terms of questioning. It's the same as basically, you know, the old state of emergency, you know, in the days of apartheid when there was a state of emergency and people had to be locked up into their houses at certain times of the day. This is exactly what it is.
Right.
You know, as soon as that state of disaster was declared, I mean, it gives the president certain rights over the country, which, you know, supersedes any other person, in this case, employers, and so on. And we all have to comply, otherwise we'll be breaking the law.
Right. Tell you what, Shaheed, let's go for another break quickly for our latest news headlines. And we're also going to bring you sports very shortly. But I want to conclude with one or two more questions with Shaheed Abada. This is, of course, the voice of the Cape. Breakfast is all over your wireless this morning. And it's a special edition of the Labour Lowdown. Don't go away. Welcome back to Breakfast 91.3 FM. We're going to wrap it up with Shaheed Abada. He is my guest for this morning. We're talking about the lockdown that's in effect from the 26th of March, a special edition of the Labour Lowdown here on Breakfast 91.3. Shaheed, just before the break, we answered one or two questions. We spoke about the Communicable Diseases Act. We spoke about the Health and Safety Act. You even mentioned, you know, that the president of South Africa has got precedence over every employer and every rule, basically, when it comes to this particular lockdown. There was a message that came through on 072-238-0712. It's with regards to call centres. I'm getting a lot of those messages that's coming through. So with regards to call centres, they're saying that they're sitting in confined spaces, no open windows. They basically just have to answer phone calls whole day, monitoring people's actions online, and work through an air-conditioned environment.
Well, you know, Gulam, again, you know, social distancing does apply in this particular case. You know, it is a lockdown, and I don't know what people don't understand about the lockdown. And I'm talking here with regards to, you know, business people, employers, and owners of business. It is very clear that, you know, even call centers should be closed down now during the lockdown. We have a particular problem in the world, globally, that we cannot deal with, right? If you look at China, if you look at Italy, the president of Italy came out the other day to say that, you know, we've done everything. We have locked people up in their houses. We have, you know, sort of put the army out in the streets. And yet our people are dying on a daily basis. Our country and business people in our country needs to take this very seriously. Even if there wasn't a lockdown in the country, still people in call centers needed to maybe work shifts. They needed to be split up, you know, not all be in the same building at the same time. Or the employer had to take reasonable steps, obviously, to ensure the safety of these people in the call centers. But as far as I'm concerned, in the lockdown, even call centers should be closed during the 21-day period.
Now, Shahid, just one last question before we go. Employers, companies, they're saying that they are not allowed to force employees, workers, to take from their leave to make up for their salaries.
Yes, they're right. You're not supposed to be forcing employees to take leave. But what is the alternative, Gulam? The alternative is that employees go off now, you know, unpaid. And that will have more economic hardship on those employees. There is no answer as far as how these employees should be treated, right? It's no fault. As I said, it's a force majeure issue. There's no fault on the employer. There's no fault in the employee. So you can't say that the contract is broken. Mm. I think between employers and employees, they need to find reasonable ways in how to do this. And I've seen many, many sort of permutations, and because I spoke to many employers now during this past week. In fact, in the past 24 hours, some people are saying, okay, I'll pay you 60% of your salary and you take 60% of it or 40% of it as your leave. Others are saying, well, I'll give you 100% payment. Others are saying, no, you have to take 100% of the time for your leave. So there's lots of permutations, right? Mm. There is no single answer and model that one can use in this particular case, but because it is a no-fault issue, both on the employer and the employee side. So I think employees must go to the employees and find the best possible solution so that they don't have more economic hardship on themselves, right? Because like I say, this is going to carry on for the balance of this year, I think, where we're going to have a lot of hardship in our country and around the world. And, you know, one has to find now already solutions to this problem. And you know, the best way is to sit down with the employer, talk, negotiate, and for the employer as well, to have an open and reasonable mind as to how he's going to treat his employees during this particular time.
But as an employee, Shahid, I do have the right to voice my concern as an employee if I feel that my life is in danger in any way, especially where this virus is concerned.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the Health and Safety Act has been around for many, many years. And, you know, we have had cases of insubordination. But when the employee comes and says, no, I didn't do this particular issue because I felt my life was in danger or my health was in danger, then sort of those cases, you know, commissioners have always found in favor of the employee. So employees do have the right to obviously raise their opinions and to refuse reasonable instructions if they feel at any point in time that the employer is not complying with the Health and Safety Act. And in any case, you know, even if there wasn't a virus, even if there wasn't a lockdown, the employer has an obligation to make sure that he provides a safe working environment to any employee that comes into his facility or business or whatever.
Shahid Abada, who holds a master's in labor law as well as being a registered commissioner at the CCMA and completing his studies in employee relations, thank you very much for your time this morning on Breakfast 91.3 FM. Just by seeing all the messages coming through on all our platforms, I can see that they appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time. You can have a busy day.
Assalamu alaikum, Ghulam, and have a good day.
The voice there of Shahid Abada, who holds a master's in labor law. He's also a registered commissioner at the CCMA and also completing his studies towards a PhD in employee relations. Well, we continue with breakfast right after this.